Okay, so a sentence or two, please, about yourself.
Okay.
And if we can stick to the slot, at least, not the actual absolute time.
Interesting. Doesn't communicate with the screen.
It's not advancing.
No, it's not pausing. Maybe no. Yeah. Hello everyone, my name is Cosmin, Cosmin Tiklano. I work for BRE. For those of you who do not know BRE, this is a multidisciplinary consultancy and research organization in the UK, Building Research Establishment, that's the name of us. And we do lots of things. We do research projects, we work on consultancy and advice projects for private and public customers. Until 1997, actually, we were a government agency, and since then we've been private. I work in the lighting team, which is part of BRE Environment, and I'm here today to talk to you about this well-building standard, which is a fairly new standard in the building industry. I don't know how familiar you are with this. It's a mixture of aspects that are meant to improve the health and well-being of building occupants. And this is just to start with a brief description of this standard. It was initially launched in 2014 in the US by the International Well-Being Institute, version 1, the one on the left. The other one, version 2, was launched earlier this year, and at the moment there are two versions. Both of them are active, are available to use, and obviously there are some differences between them. The main point is that both versions are supposed, as I said, to improve health and well-being of building occupants, and the standard tries to do that by aiming at a number of concepts, which are, for example, water, air quality, light, nourishment, mind, comfort, and so on. So it's a broad mixture of features, as they are called. These features are requirements that have to be met. Those are the preconditions, so they are mandatory, and optimizations, which basically allow the project to achieve a higher score. And the differences between these two versions, one of them is the second version of the standard covers more concepts. Some people say, and I believe as well, it's slightly easier to meet V2, so the second version, purely because the requirements are slightly different, and there is more flexibility by working by using points. So you get a number of points, so it's easier to get a total score of a certain value compared to the previous version, in which you had to comply with all the requirements of a certain optimization to get that optimization. So it's a bit more flexible, that's short. As far as light is concerned, so I'm here today to talk to you about daylight in the well-being standard, and with a focus on CBDM, or using daylight modeling to see how this well-being standard is relevant to, actually the other way around, how radiance is relevant to the well-being standard, how difficult it is to comply with this well-being standard, or easy, we'll see. This slide here shows you the light concept in version 1. You can see there is a number of 11 features covering both daylight and electric light. In blue, you can see the blue tints. Well, this is blue, right? Kind of. Everything which is blue is linked with daylight, the other one's electric light. So you can see some features cover both, in some proportions, and the darker colors illustrate features that are mandatory, the preconditions, so they have to be met. Otherwise, there is no certification at all. So they have to be met. The other ones are optimizations. Just to go quickly through them, very quickly, I won't keep you with these. The next slides will show you only those features that contain or are linked with daylight. The other ones are not shown here. This is a precondition. It's funny because that where you see precondition, it should be a red box on my screen, but that's kind of, yeah. So sorry about the colors. I might say words which are not seen on the screen for color. So this one, circadian lighting design, is a really tough to meet precondition. It's a mandatory, so many projects fail to achieve this certification because of this. And the requirements are, twofold, two options, either this or that. The first one includes daylight, so I'm going to talk about that only. And what it says is you have to have at least 200 EML, I'll tell you in a minute what that means, from both electric lighting and daylight between 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock every day of the year, at least 75% of the working stations, the workstations. And this EML is equivalent monopic lux, which is a metric which is weighted to the cells in the eyes that are contain a pigment called melanopsin, which is responsible, in short, for regulating our circadian rhythms. So basically, that senses the ambient light and then triggers a number of reactions in our body and so on. It's a really complex field. This is in short. And this this metric, EML, can be calculated from the visual lux as we know it by multiplying that value by R, which is melanopic ratio, which depends on the spectrum of the incident light at the eyes. And that obviously can be calculated for each light spectrum. And this graph here shows some examples. For example, for daylight 6500 Kelvin, 136. 200 EML, which is required, corresponds to 182 lux, as we know, visual lux. This is just an example. Solar glare control, it's another precondition that has to be met, and projects can have at least one of these options here. So it's really basic. For example, if you put blinds, that's it, precondition met. Low glare workstation design, this is already in the optimizations range. It's just a matter of how to orient the computer screens relative to windows. Automatically controlled shading for windows of a certain area. Right to light, this gives maximum distances from view windows. And we arrived at this point. Daylight modeling, this again is optimization. Projects don't have to meet it, but if they do, they get another, a higher score because they met this optimization. And this is basically dealing with CBDM. So these are the requirements. They are all together, so both of them have to be met in order to achieve this optimization. You have to have at least 55% of the regular occupied space with a illuminance from daylight of 300 lux for at least half of the occupancy hours, and the same, not more than 10% of the regular occupied space with an illuminance higher than 1000 lux from sunlight for normal 250 hours a year. So the SDA and ASC. Just one remark here. You can see the definitions there, which are taken from the IES. For the ASC, all operable shading devices have to be retracted, so it's all fixed shading. I'm telling you this because I have an example later, which, yeah, you can see something. This is the last optimization in the first version of the standard, dealing with window-to-wall ratios, glazing transmittance, and they split this windows into two portions. So what's above 2.1 and what's below 2.1 meters from the floor, just because they treat the upper portions for daylight management, as they call it, and the lower ones for view. So it's like the different requirements. And also this uniform color transmittance, you have to have a variation of not more than two within that range of wavelengths. If we go now to the second version of the well-being standard, the more recent one, you can see already there is a lower number of requirements or features. The same algorithm here, so darker colors are mandatory features which are preconditions, the other ones are optimizations, the same in blue, those relevant to daylight. So now you can see there are only three relevant to daylight compared to V1, and only one of them is mandatory. So it's a bit already easier to comply in a way, obviously, to think about it in V2. But let's see exactly what these features require. And this is the precondition, which deals with minimum exposure to daylight in regularly occupied spaces or common spaces. This is for all spaces except dwellings. And these ones, so any one of these has to be met, not all of them. So if a project, for example, has met this requirement, that's fine. You don't have to calculate a special daylight autonomy for the other one. So it's all one of them. But because this is an exercise, we'll be focusing or we'll be assuming that we want to comply with this. So you have to have at least 30% of the regularly occupied space with an illuminance from daylight of 200 lux over at least 40% of the occupancy hours. We'll just treat with that one in the left. And this is for dwellings, something similar. Lighting education, so there is a focus on educating occupants about the importance of, for example, daylight for health and well-being and other aspects, circadian rhythm, sleep, and so on. This is an optimization which allows the project to get up to 2 points in terms of controlling solar glare. And this is, again, the project can choose between this or that. So if you have, for example, internal shading, that's fine, you get a point. Or you can go and calculate the annual sunlight exposure. If it's right, it's fine, you get the points. Otherwise, you don't get the points, but you may opt for one of these. So it's not that difficult, really, to meet this criteria. But again, for this exercise, we'll assume that we want to comply with ASC. This is another feature, optimization, enhanced daylight access, which gives another point if you meet those criteria. Again, it depends on the type of building. It may be difficult, it may not be difficult. We'll see in the next example about that. And this is the bit dealing with CBDM, implementing enhanced daylight simulation up to 2 points. So if the space meets the first criterion, 55% at least, then you get 1 point if 75% of the space has that special daylight autonomy, then you get 2 points. And this is the last one on views out. I won't say much about this. Now, this is the example I chose for this exercise. Again, it's very simple, it's not complex, it's not technical radiance in radiance language at all. It's very simple. This project is, it's called the BRE Biophilic Office. This is a research project, multidisciplinary again, spread over 2 years, looking at practical measures to improve an office space by using cost-effective refurbishment measures inspired by biophilic design, so by going back to nature, like for example, green walls or flooring that mimic grass, or by using artificial skylights that bring in an appearance of sunlight, if you wish, tunable LED lighting, so lots of things that are inspired by nature. And as I said, this is really complex. There are colleagues dealing with air quality, noise, and so on. I'm talking about the light, the lighting aspects today, and mainly daylight, and again CBDM. And this is the building. It's a very, not very, but it's an old building built in the 80s. It's a typical civil service office building. So you can see the layout with many cellular offices. Some of them have been converted into an open plan area, more or less. But yeah, fairly small with that long corridor. You can see some pictures over there. And the part of the project dealing with the light covers electric lighting and daylighting. This is today. I'm going again talking about daylight, and we use a number of things here. We do computer modeling of daylight just to get an understanding of, you know, how daylight is distributed across the office spaces, and we are trying to get these annual profiles of daylight illuminance both on the working plane but also at the eye level, because of these circadian aspects. And we are also doing daylight monitoring on the roof and also in some offices, those which are marked with those, well, in theory you had dots, well, dark brown dots over there. And these are the results of this simple exercise. We used DIFA. You can see the modeling parameters there. The first bit deals with special daylight autonomy and annual sunlight exposure, and for that we use those occupancy hours, obviously empty spaces, because this had to be a really quick exercise. No furniture, nothing, just empty spaces, working plane. We measure the reflectances in situ, and we input all those values in the model. And we used four scenarios. The first one, no blinds at all, so just windows. The second one, we used the conceptual dynamic shading scenario in DIVA, and the last two ones, detailed dynamic shading as per DIVA algorithms, with two states of the blinds and three states of the blinds. So basically in DDS1, the blinds are fully down but open, and the other state is fully down and closed. And in the DDS2, there is also the state where the blinds are up, fully up. And we split the floor plate, actually the first floor of that building, that model, into two zones. The one facing south, which is, this is south here, and the other side is north, facing north. And we split those in two groups just for the exercise. These are the daylight factors in all the regularly occupied rooms. Not all of them are occupied, only those ones that are shown here are occupied, and the overall average is 3.3 daylight factor. So you could say that you can see also the minimum here is 2.5, so you could say this complies with Brian, for example, from a daylight factor perspective. These are the results for special daylight autonomy, 300 lux, 50% of occupancy hours. Overall, those are the values for the different scenarios. So no blinds, obviously, is very high, because these rooms, these offices, have really big windows. And you can see they are not so deep. They are really exposed to daylight. If you put the blinds in, the values go down. These values are even higher, because you are looking for 200 lux, over 40% of the occupancy hours. And you can see you get maximum even with no blinds at all. This is for annual sunlight exposure, and the average overall is 20%, which you see, if you remember the value, it doesn't meet the requirements. But interestingly, what we noticed when we did the calculations in the different scenarios, I don't know if this is a problem in DIVA or because there was a problem in our model, but we saw differences between the four scenarios in each of the rooms. Overall, it's the same value overall, but there are differences between the individual rooms in these four scenarios. And actually, you can see no blinds with conceptual dynamic shading, the values are the same, but the detailed dynamic shading, both versions, 1 and 2, they are also the same, but they are different from the other ones. And I don't know if this is right, because the definition of ASC in IES, it says that there are no, all, it's just fixed shading. So in theory, I think they should be the same, I think. So maybe it's some discussion there. So if you look at the compliance with the well-being standard V1 first, there is only one feature in the well-being standard dealing with BDM, and this optimization. So it's not a problem if you don't meet it. If you don't, you don't get that high score. And you can see for the various scenario, only the first one, no blinds, can meet the daylight autonomy criterion, but none of them can meet the annual sunlight exposure hours exposure. So it's a no. If we look at version 2 of the standard, this is a precondition, light exposure and education. Because this is really easy to meet, you have to have 200 lux at least 30% of the regularly occupied space over 40% of the occupancy hours, and this is met for all the scenarios. So it's fairly easy to meet. It's not a problem. This is a bit trickier because of this annual sunlight exposure, 20%. It's almost double, so yeah, this is not met. But this is not a problem because you have the option of choosing between calculating this or just using shading systems, which is an option in the well-being standard V2 to use. So you can get the 2 points, but not by following this method, this route of calculating ASE. And this is another optimization, enhanced daylight access. If you do not take into consideration the blinds, you can get actually 2 points because at least 75%, or almost all of them, have at least 300 lux for 50% of the occupancy hours. But if you add the blinds in any of those scenarios, yeah, this is not met. Okay, now just to look a bit into these circadian-like aspects. Again, using DIVA, empty spaces, everything the same. We change the occupancy hours from 9 to 1 o'clock every day during the week because this is what V1 requires to have those 200 EML, if you remember, from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. So that's why we changed this, where we use these occupancy hours. And we calculated the, we used calculation points at the eye level for these three scenarios here. So we just used one detailed dynamic shading, the one with three states. And what we did, we actually went in these offices and measured the contribution from electric lighting in the evening, of course. And there's a combination of 3,000 Kelvin and 4,000 Kelvin T8 fluorescent lamps, luminaires, which give on average 124 lux. And if you convert that into equivalent anoptic lux, it's about 61. So we assume that, you know, was a best case in a way, when all the lights are on during the day. If you get 61 EML from electric lighting, you only need 139 EML from daylight. And we wanted to see, by doing this computer modeling, if you get this in the space. So that was a target, 139 EML from daylight. And what we did, we measured the spectrum of daylight at the point inside the space. So not, we didn't use 6,500 Kelvin or the spectrum for D65. Those, because you get something different inside after daylight penetrates the windows. So we measured about 5,100 Kelvin, and we used that spectrum to calculate EML. So that's why it's 139 EML corresponding to 164 lux. So basically the target in DIVA was to look at daylight autonomy for 164 lux. This is what this slide here shows, the results in the different scenarios. Again, the requirement is to have 100%, because this is what V1 says. You have to have, if you remember, 200 EML every day of the year. Not 100%, but 75% of the workstations have to have this value. So this is what we wanted to see, but it has to be for 100% of the time. So basically here, the target is 100% everywhere, because you have to have that value from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock every day of the year. So that has to be 100% of occupancy hours in a way. I mean, occupancy hours that for those 4 hours. But you can see there are values, obviously, which you would have felt that it's difficult really to meet maybe this criterion, but yeah, the results show that. And another thing to obviously mention, there is nothing in the spaces, they are all empty, so there's no furniture, no desks, no cupboards or cabinets, or nothing. So you, obviously if you add those, you may even get lower values. And another thing, this is AB5, so if people, for example, in real practice want to, you know, run quicker calculations, they may be tempted to use AB2, for example, and obviously the values might get a bit lower. So even so, you don't get that. This is a question here. I wasn't sure whether these results are fully correct or not, because if you look at the values for NB, no blinds, and DDS, detailed dynamic shading, they are the same for some reason. I don't know whether that's correct, because in theory they shouldn't, because you have blinds in, so maybe there's something wrong either with the model or the algorithm. I'm not sure. Right, so just this is a summary what I said earlier. Checked against this criterion here, only 9% of the there are 33 I didn't mention desks, so occupants, and only 3 of these 33 had at least 164 lux from daylight every day of the year from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and that was for no blinds, and the same here with conceptual dynamic shading for 4 people getting that. So, but anyway, it's below 75% by far. Okay, so, quickly, conclusions. The well-being standard is a very good instrument, because obviously, you know, it challenges things, it makes us, or, you know, the developers, designers, architects, think about, you know, improving health and well-being of building occupants, so it's a good thing to have. And also gives this tangible advice and the rating system. So you have something you can work with, and it's not, well, it can be difficult to meet. Some features are really, difficult to meet. Some of them are easy to evaluate, others are more difficult because you have to use complex modeling or very careful measurements. For example, the for WellV1, what the standard says for those circadian light levels, the performance verification guidebook says that you have to go and measure that value. But how do you choose the day when you go to measure those values? Because if you go, you know, in December, obviously you'll measure a very low value. If you go in, I wouldn't say June, because if the sun is high, you may get lower level, but I don't know, March at 3 o'clock in an office, 9 o'clock in the morning, in an office facing east, yeah, you get a very good value. Okay, project, good project, but you know, you don't get that value for every day. So it's a discussion, and I think the IWBI realized that, and in version 2 of the standard, as you saw, there is no requirement on circadian light for daylight. It's only for electric lighting, and I think it's much, much easier to come to check compliance against, because yeah, it's only electric lighting, which is a constant in theory. And I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, just one or two questions because we're overrunning a bit and we've got some time. So
yep.
This might be a bit of a open question, but I see a lot of places on the forums, and also you show that you do an SDA without blinds. And isn't it kind of embedded in the spatial data autonomy that you actually do use some kind of solar control system?
Well, this is the thing. I think, yeah, this is a discussion I think the industry should have, because I read the information on the Wellbeing Standard website, and also the USGBC website for LEED. And what they say is that you should use fixed shading devices for the calculations. However, there is one place on the well-being standard where people can leave comments. And someone said something about that. And the response from my IWBI was that, yes, include even blinds. So I think there is some contradictory information there. It's not clear. Whilst for AIC, it's clear that by the definition that you have to use only fixed shading, that's fine. with SDA, I'm not sure exactly what the you know, the best thing to do is. And obviously, by adding the blinds, as you saw in the results, the daylight autonomy goes down, which is normal.
Yeah, because it's as far as I remember, it's defined in the LM83, where once you have a schedule for blinds following 4 hours, where more than 2% of the grid points are in direct sun. So I mean, it's very much a generic or an open question, because I see so many people do special
believe everything you see in print
when it's actually maybe just a daylight autonomy.
Yeah,
it's a comment.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I had the same questions myself. Yeah, definitely a point.
Okay, one more.
I have two questions, but first one.
Oh, sorry, Al. Actually, yeah, sorry, I was pointing at the chappy.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I just have something quick, is that you can run SDA with autonomy coin controllers if you have installed.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you, sorry.
You're allowed to run SDA with automated control systems for the blinds if you install them in the final build, so you don't have to use the LM83 control system if you're doing something advanced.
Yeah.
John, is it a quickie?
Yeah, it's real quick. I just nice stump on, you know, like in the standard, and perhaps it's a bit more generic, is you know, we're not using useful daylight index, you know, which was the range between 100 and 2,000 or 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a common convention now that we're moving to annual sunlight exposure? And we're not, because the only place I seem to see useful daylight index is in the British peer.
PSPB. Yes.
I'm not seeing it anywhere else anymore.
No, I haven't either. Maybe John has some comment. I can't comment on that. Maybe John is in a better position to say.
We can talk about that, but yeah.
I think I know that,
perhaps not recorded.
But sorry, so just in conclusion, is there's a convention now is where we're moving towards annual daylight autonomy and annual sun exposure.
I think we'll be moving away from certainly annual sunlight exposure.
Okay.
No one believes it. Anyway, Cosmin, thank you.
Okay, thank you.